This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Information. Celebrate fall with fun outdoor activities during the Fall Harvest Festival at Rock Springs Conservation Area on Saturday, October 16th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Activities will include 3D archery, canoeing, pumpkin painting, and wagon rides. Homestead Prairie Farm, along with its woodworking shop and gardens, will be open for free tours. There will also be a spinning demonstration at the homestead where you can observe how wool is made into yarn. 3D archery, canoeing, and pumpkin painting are all $3 each. No registration will be required. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Hundreds are sent back, but thousands may be released. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. The Biden administration has said that they'd be rounded up and flown home, and some have been, but a lot of the Haitian migrants who've been crowding the Texas border town of Del Rio are reported to have been let go instead.
The AP quotes one official as saying some Haitian migrants in Texas have been released into the U.S. with notices to appear at an immigration office in 60 days. Another said large numbers of Haitians were being processed under immigration laws. That comes despite the Biden administration's claims that they would face immediate expulsion. Homeland Security has been busing some Haitians from Del Rio to El Paso, Laredo, Rio Grande Valley, and Tucson, Arizona, where they're getting processed by the Border Patrol. About 8,600 migrants are believed to still be camped out in Del Rio. Jill Nato, Fox News.
A specific cause of death has not been determined, but a coroner in Wyoming says a body found Sunday is Gabby Petito. She went missing during a cross-country road trip with her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. There's been a search for him in Florida, centered on a 40-square-mile nature park. The House passes a bill to extend funding of the federal government into December to avoid a partial government shutdown at the end of the month.
On this vote, the yeas are 220 and the nays are 211. With zero answering present, the bill is passed.
That's every Democrat voting yes, every Republican voting no, because the bill would also extend the nation's debt limit until December 2022. That has no hope, really, of having enough Republican support to pass in the Senate. The U.S. could default on debt if the limit isn't extended or suspended in the next few weeks. Former President Trump is suing the New York Times, three of its reporters, and his niece over a 2018 article about his private tax files. The suit calls for no less than $100 million in damages from the Times and from Mary Trump. America's listening to Fox News.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Are you on Medicare? A new report from the Medicare Board of Trustees says it will run out of money in 2026. Yes, that's soon. Now, Stinchfield talks to the insiders and reveals the shocking story of Medicare. You need to protect yourself. Watch Stinchfield's series on Medicare tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Newsmax is on every major cable system and most streaming services. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone. Medicare is in real trouble. Tune into Stinchfield on Newsmax tonight.
Centers for Disease Control advisors are scheduled to meet today to discuss who should get coronavirus booster shots and when.
An FDA advisory panel met last week recommending Pfizer's third vaccine dose for people 65 and older or those who are considered high risk, though the panel overwhelmingly rejected booster shots for the general public, pushing back on the Biden administration's plans to begin releasing the shots this week. Like the FDA, the CDC meeting only advisory, with a final decision resting with the agencies themselves.
Fox is Jeff Manasso. In Germany, a dispute over face masks for coronavirus protection gets a gas station clerk killed.
German police say a 20-year-old working at a gas station has been killed after he asked a customer to wear a face mask in line with coronavirus restrictions. Police say the customer left the gas station, then returned with a gun and shot the clerk in the head. A 49-year-old man has been arrested. Prosecutors say he told investigators he was angry at being denied service and rejects COVID-19 control measures. Simon Owen, Fox News.
A look at the weather forecast around the U.S. on this first day of fall.
A strong cold front sweeping across the eastern third of the country will bring isolated storms and flooding over the next few days. Much cooler temperatures are moving in behind the front. Gusty winds bringing the elevated threat of wildfires to portions of the Sierra and the northern Rockies. What's left of Tropical Depression Peter is passing north of the Leeward Islands and Puerto Rico over the next day or so. Locally heavy rainfall and isolated flooding will be possible. Rose is also weakening and won't affect anyone. Another disturbance off the coast of Africa will likely become a tropical depression by Thursday or Friday.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. The actor Willie Garson died, 57 years old. He played the main character's friend Stanford on Sex and the City.
Every gay guy I know is running off to Hawaii, putting on a caftan, reciting vows, and feeling superior to me.
His son announcing the death on social media, not mentioning a cause. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere, located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Fall into fashion with apparel in deep, rich fall colors of rust, brown, and green. Fall into fashion in leggings, straight leg, and fun, flowy palazzo pants. Fall into fashion in comfy shirts, tunics, and sweaters. Fall into fashion at Shop on Main in downtown Decatur. Fall into fashion in beautiful wraps, coats, scarves, and gloves. And fall into fashion with wonderful handbags, jewelry, unique accessories, and gifts for men, women, and children. Fall into fashion at Shop on Main at 407 North Main Street. Modern looks, old fashioned.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today we've got a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 11 a.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 68 and breezy with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 47. For Thursday, sunny and windy with a high near 70. And Friday, sunny and windy with a high near 80. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 57 degrees, and your WSOY time is 8:06.
Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, September 22nd edition of Buyers & Company. Tanya Andrix will join us this hour, talk a little bit about what's going on with Crossing and also the event tomorrow night for the Girl Scouts. Tanya, joining the club. Next.
Buyers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, good morning and welcome. Do you know who Rob Rivera is, or was, I should say? He was the co-founder of the Black Hole section of the Raiders fan base. He died of COVID-19 in his 50s. And he took the idea from the dog pound that the Cleveland Browns had. And made that sort of mainstream with the Raiders, right?
Oh, for sure. Yep.
You see these sort of things, I think more than like celebrities, it's just people you sort of identify as like, okay, here's just a guy who had this passion for this and he's no longer here.
Right.
And then there will be this Reddit group we talked about earlier that celebrates that with the Herman Cain Award, which I just don't understand at all. I met Herman Cain one time.
Yeah, I think you said that
before. He was a very nice man. Surface nice, meaning, you know, you have no reason that you have to be nice, but you're nice anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, for sure.
That's all I would be able to ascertain about his character at all.
Pleasant interaction.
Yes. Posed for a picture, congratulated me on a Marconi Award, and, you know, was engaged in a conversation. Like, didn't feel like, oh, I'm...
bigger than you, better than you, more famous than you, richer than you, that kind of, you know. And there's a lot of people you meet in life that have that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Just sort of. And then there's people you meet in life that you think have that vibe, but you learn they're just shy or they're not outgoing.
Yeah.
They might seem standoffish, but it's really just they're shy. So I don't, you know, the first brush judgment of someone is hard. But I enjoyed the interaction with him and thought he was a nice guy. And even if I'd never met him, I think it's horrible that they're using it's horrible that whoever runs his Twitter account is still doing COVID misinformation after he died.
Oh, yeah, that's super strange.
But it's also really tacky that people are doing the other side of this on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like there's, I touched on this earlier, that the platform, that the product has changed the behavior. You know, if you were going to write a book in the old days, you basically had to go through a publisher and an editor.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't just publish anything. Someone would go, you could get sued for this, or, you know, this isn't legal, you can't make these claims, or just this isn't any good. There was a system,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
And I don't want to put the media in that, but I mean, but you know, I have my job because I'm good at my job. Sometimes you'll get this, you have a platform. It's like, well, yeah, I've earned my platform. I mean, it's not given away like lottery. I mean, it's you know, I have to earn it.
Right. And retain it.
And retain it, yes.
And grow it.
Yes. And I feel like with whether it's social media or Reddit or, I mean, you know, you fill in the blank, it's just unfiltered, which can be a good thing,
mm-hmm.
but also can be a bad thing, just like human beings.
Right.
We show the best of our abilities. We show the worst of our abilities. And when there's not a referee or there's not a process, you get all of it. And you get all of it in large amounts. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And I'm not calling for anything different. I'm just saying that there's no regulations. There's no, I mean, we have broadcast regulations that we have to meet to keep our federal license.
Right.
There are rules. Some of the rules are incredibly silly. We have to have a station ID at the top of the hour, just in case you don't know who you're listening to. Right? That's never made any sense to me.
Yeah, it seems a little antiquated at this point.
Well, sure it is, but that's government. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what they do. They do sweeping, you know, motions, and they, I mean, that's why they've had a hard time keeping up with something that's not even new. I mean, they still treat the internet like it just happened.
Yeah, way, way behind on the internet.
Yeah, no doubt. They're way behind on everything. So is some of it silly? Yes. But there are also hoops that we have to jump through. Quarterly issues. You know, you name it. And with Facebook, even though they claim there are rules, I really don't see them in play. Do you? By and large, for the most part?
I do see them in play, but it's generally reactionary.
Give me an example of something you've physically seen, like locally here.
Oh, I don't. I'm not down in the weeds like that. I don't have any. I can think of one. When that big scuttlebutt was going on, the big to-do in town.
That was nothing.
That was, I mean, nothing.
It was entirely made up, yes.
By about the second day, I did see people making reference to, they're taking my stuff down, we need truth and all that, meaning that there had been some action, granted not instant, but within about a day or so.
Okay, but that had to be outside enforced. That was lawyers contacting people and contacting social media. It wasn't social media doing it itself. No, I know for a fact.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't the algorithms or the you know, somebody sitting in California that made that decision. Sure. Based on their own judgment call.
Right, but also isn't that a good enough
no,
isn't that,
because it never would have made it public had it been left up to journalists or trained people in media or people that have to jump through the responsibility hoops. It never would have become public. Because it wasn't true.
And it wasn't vetted. It wasn't any of that. But it something like that might be said person to person.
Yeah, but that's not the same power. It's not the same platform. It's not publicly viewable. It's not there for everyone to see. It's not. And that same person could be held liable.
Mm-hmm.
Yet something, and actually, thank you, because it's the perfect example of local. It never would have happened. Those people wouldn't have had to go through that, live through that, have their reputation tarnished like that.
Right.
Still to this day, there are people out there that no matter what was proven to be, would still say, I'm not buying that. I think it happened. Solely because it was able to spread through social media.
Yeah. I mean.
And if a newspaper did that, if a radio station did that, if a TV station did that, we'd be sued out of existence.
Yeah. But
we've turned the reins over to Uncle Ned with no rules.
Well, I mean, Uncle Ned could still be sued into his oblivion even if he has nothing to lose.
Tell me where that happens and where that's happened and when it's happened and how it's happened in this country. Australia's setting it in place where literally you can be held responsible. Media companies. Now, this is one of the things I don't understand. Why are we drawing the line with media companies? I think media companies should be held accountable. But why is it just media companies? When every has the same ability to share and platform, why are people not being sued for libel or slander in a space? Because, as you said, the government still hasn't gotten around to any of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I don't know specific examples, but I know that people are committing crimes on social media and being arrested for it.
Yeah, but it's usually bragging about the money they stole or the riot they were a part of. It's not about making up total lies and spreading
or cyberbullying or revenge porn and all that kind of stuff.
Once again, do you know anybody in Decatur, Illinois that's been sued successfully for putting lies on social media?
I don't think I do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, I mean, I don't think I know.
Can you think of anything more reprehensible than the incident that you were referring to?
No.
And maybe someone will be sued out of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was allowed. And a lot of it was taken down voluntarily after lawyers reached directly out to those mm-hmm. people and said, this is what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
The threat of it. But we still don't know where that stands today in America. I don't. I clearly know in print and in public speaking, I mean, what is allowed or not allowed as far as libel and slander goes. I cannot tell you that on social media.
Wouldn't you think it's the same law?
You would think, but I see more of it there than I've seen in print or public speaking. You can see more of it in a week on Facebook than I have 25 years of broadcast.
Oh, for sure.
So where are all the lawsuits?
I don't know. But is that not the victim? Isn't that on the victims to kind of do it?
I suppose, but why are you allowed to turn somebody into a victim who hasn't done anything? I mean, that was malicious.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to say there's anything okay about it. I'm saying I think that people that did it still could be held accountable.
Maybe they could,
yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be a deterrent to stop people from doing it because all you have to do is just visit every day and it's
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think it's a deterrent.
Right.
But I do think there are consequences. You can't just freewheel do whatever you want to do without.
But that's the only place where you can. I mean, let's think about this for a minute because there's an intersection of this thought process about COVID, about vaccines, about mandates, about general behavior in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw the argument the other day that, well, you know, we let kids drive cars. The argument was we shouldn't have masks in school. Okay?
Those two things go hand in hand.
In this person's mind.
Okay.
But we also tell kids they have to wear a seatbelt. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to pass a driver's test. Yep. They have to use their turn signals. They can't drink and drive or be under the impairment. There's all kinds of rules that mm-hmm. come with that to cut down the chance of them being harmed.
Correct.
So your argument really, to me, reinforces the argument for masks, not the other way around. Right?
Right.
Okay. So that's a debate that you can have. But on social media, it's just anything goes because there are no rules. There's no seatbelts. There's no speed limit. There's no, hey, we're going to pull you over if you're 20 miles out over the limit because you're putting other people in danger and you're being, you know, there's none of that. It's just the wild, wild west. In every asset of life, you and I have it on this show, whether it's unwritten or, I mean, there are rules.
I mean, there are, it's not, because it's so big, they don't nip it as much as they should, but there are rules. It's just whether people...
In a place where there are rules, how do you make up what got made up about the story you mentioned? How does it get to the point it got if there are rules that work?
So those are two different things. Getting to the point that it got, it shouldn't have. The fact that it was on there, how do you not let it get on there in the first place? People are people. I mean, just the same as you can't go...
I think that if you do that, you blocked President Trump for a lot less.
Right.
Then how does that person not get taken off the platform?
I'm with you there. But there's no way of knowing that this isn't like that Tom Cruise movie. You can't predetermine what somebody's about to say or do.
No, but once they do...
Yeah, they should come down harder and faster.
A deterrent would be, you're no longer allowed to play here.
Yeah, so that's...
How many times can I drive through downtown Decatur at 130 miles an hour before they take away my right to do that?
Yeah, it's that one time, hopefully. I wish it was no times, but...
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where you don't have rules, this is what you get, which is why you have to have rules. I know everybody balks at, like, you know, even the use of the word mandate. You know, mandate to me is just the government language of you not doing the common sense thing, so they have to do it for you.
Right.
And you can agree to disagree all you want. But we know what happens in countries without rules. I mean, we know what happens in places where there's no law and order. And we have to have law and order. Because if you make the case that, yeah, most people, I can tell you most people aren't going to murder people. But a 17-year-old girl in this community was shot in the head and died this week. Most people will be decent. Okay. But everywhere you go where there isn't that insurance policy in place, people tend not to be decent.
Yeah. They need to, so the policies are in place. They need better enforcement. They need better tools, and they almost need to fund an entire division to handle this.
Yeah. But they didn't. They built it all for this. I mean, because the engagement was more important to them than whether it ruined lives or reputations or people's ability to survive a pandemic. They know, internal reports know what Instagram is doing to teenagers and mental health. I mean, there are enough decent people in these companies. This stuff keeps getting leaked.
Right.
They know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not generally, I'm not a guy going, we need more laws, we need more. But it is territory that is uncharted, and there are no rules. We have rules on our Facebook page. That we took the extra step to go, you do this,
yeah,
and you're going to be blocked.
You're holding your own community accountable to, you're staking your own claim on your land.
Yeah, Facebook isn't making us do that.
No.
And we feel like they're just basic decency rules. Hey, you don't need the F-bomb. You certainly don't need to besmirch anybody because of their race or their ethnicity. I mean, these are just basic common decency. And people are like, freedom of speech. Yeah, you know, go take your freedom to be ignorant somewhere else. Because you're not wanted here. I mean, you can be pro this tax or anti this tax. You can't use racial invectives. That ought to be a non-starter, no-brainer conversation for most people, right?
Right.
But why do you have to have that rule? Because Rodney's pissed off they're doing a Hispanic celebration. Right?
Right.
So I think the bottom line is, for social media to continue to survive, for Reddit to be, I mean, you know, I don't know. The Herman Cain thing is highly offensive to me. I think it's completely without any passion for people's lives and families and loved ones that they left behind to... maybe they're just pissed and they think this makes the point. I think it's senseless and it's hurtful and it's mean. to keep track of people who were COVID deniers that then die of COVID and then celebrate in that. It's wrong. Right?
Yeah.
It's also one of the fastest growing subreddits out there. So what does that tell you about people? So you got to have rules. You get me on a good day and not in the middle of a pandemic, I'd say, hey, you know, government probably needs to get out of our lives because they're not very good at it, right? But then there's also just fundamental things that are expected of human beings that just human beings sometimes can't muster on their own, at least in groups. And now there's a platform where all that can pour out with any without any vetting, without any responsibility, without any process. Just type and send. And it's out in the world. And then other like-minded people. I mean, had that been somebody outside our window here going, oh, yeah, you know, just between you and me and the fence post, that doesn't get shared 900 times by people who hope this stuff is true, root for it, live in it, revel in it, right?
Right.
So there is a difference. It's the same bad behavior, but the platform is much larger.
Yeah, it's the magnification.
Yes. And then the like-minded people, just like they have during COVID, who find this little wormhole to go down with each other, right? Something has to happen with that. And I don't claim to have the answer. I don't know what it is.
I don't even know where to start.
Got to start somewhere. Because it's not healthy. You can't have rules in civilization that apply everywhere in life except here, where everybody's spending all of their time, right?
But I think it's more than just the rules, because it's, you know, like you said, the situation of saying it outside the building and saying it online, that take magnification out, it's still the same bad stuff, neither of which is probably illegal, but one has massive effects. What are you, other than it sucking and spreading more, what are you doing wrong per se? Like
if you claim and you name people by name and say they are pedophiles, that is illegal.
Right. So stuff like that for sure.
That's what we've been talking about. And it was allowed on Facebook until the lawyers got involved.
Right. But it wouldn't have been allowed out there either.
No, nobody, it wouldn't. But nobody would know a private conversation between two people. It's the same behavior, but it's not out there at large. It's like they use the example of running into a theater and screaming fire. Why? Because it's a theater full of people.
Right.
As the definition of like where freedom of speech ends and public safety. I mean,
oh, that's so. I'm glad you said the word public safety, because that probably is where it needs to begin. Because, you know, the magnitude of saying something outside or to your two friends on Facebook probably don't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. But if you say it and it...
There were people with 300 friends on Facebook, small audiences, that was getting shared in Denver, Colorado.
Sure.
Because it's not their realm. It goes viral because people want the worst in things. And nobody in all of that time stopped to think, I wonder if this is really true, before passing it along.
I see the dangers, and you're right. It's just very complicated because the same things are happening in everyday life out, not online. Now it's online and it has a better chance of getting ignited and spreading.
I think if you're found responsible for doing that, there's severe penalty.
Yeah, sure. I'm with you on that. It's the same to me. You do something illegal here or there, it's illegal.
I'm just saying Facebook isn't stopping it.
They should do better.
We'll take a break. We have time for the break, or do you just want to go to the bottom of the hour?
Probably should just go.
Okay. I'm off my clock today. I don't know why.
Yes, it happens.
I think it was the rain and then waking up and it was like 52 degrees or something.
It's jacket weather for you.
Oh, it is. It was leaving this morning. I don't know if it will be the rest of the day. We have beautiful forecasts for the rest of the week.
I'm going to tell you something about entertainment that, Paramount has a partnership now with Showtime, so you can bundle them together. I have the premium plan, and I saw Ray Donovan, so I wonder if I already have it. And B, a movie you don't care about is coming October 15th. Halloween's going to be on Paramount Plus. That's big. That's a win.
I hope you enjoy it. I really do. I don't hate it. I'm just not.
I know you're not. But that's a big program that I thought I would have to go to the theater for.
Here's what I have news for you, and we only have 30 seconds, but we maybe get into it a little bit after the break. That the Manning brothers alternate telecast of the Monday Night Football game, up 138% in viewers from the week prior.
Oh, wow.
Is that the future of televised football? Meaning, are the days of like Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels numbered, where you can just do a split screen with a couple of brothers in different locations doing funny commentary over the game? I watched some of that and found it to be highly entertaining. But that's how fast we are changing. We'll take a break, back with more right after this.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering. Since the Macon County Health Department's last update on Monday, there has been one death and 58 new COVID-19 cases reported in Macon County. The resident was a female in her 60s. Macon County has now had a total of 14,480 cases since the start of the pandemic. The Illinois Supreme Court announced today an amendment to Order MR-30370, which extends the temporary stay on residential evictions through October 3rd, the same date that Governor Pritzker's moratorium is set to expire. Amended Order MR-30370 is available on the court website by going to nowdecatur.com. The extension of the temporary stay through October 3rd allows for more rental assistance to be distributed through the statewide court-based rental assistance program, which was launched throughout Illinois on September 15th. Under this assistance program, litigants may qualify for up to 12 months of past due rent and 3 months of future rent to prevent eviction and homelessness. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Liu. There's official confirmation the body found in Wyoming Sunday is that of Gabby Petito.
There are still many questions that need to be answered in this case. How, when, and where was she killed? Just some of the main ones, of course.
Fox's Laura Engel outside the coroner's office in Wyoming. The only person of interest, Petito's boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. The search for him centers around a Florida wilderness reserve.
60 officers from 8 different agencies used ATVs, drones, and canines to tackle the relentless conditions. And 500 miles away, deputies in the Florida Panhandle investigated a possible Laundrie sighting. The Oskaloosa County Sheriff's Office says they conducted an extensive search, but no one and nothing of note was located.
Fox's Carly Shimkus and the UN Health Agency raises the bar for air quality. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere, located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
We all have dreams. A fulfilling job, a great place to live, a sense of pride and accomplishment. But for many of us, these dreams simply can't be fully achieved without additional education or training. I'm Tony Holly of the Community Foundation of Macon County, and we're here to help you achieve your goals and reach your dreams. So we've expanded our scholarship program to include adult and non-traditional students. This program is specifically for Macon County residents aged 24 or older who have interrupted their schooling for at least 3 years after graduating from high school or after earning their GED, and help them in achieving a 2-year, 4-year, or a master's degree, as well as vocational training at Richland Community College and or Millikan. To apply by the November 1st deadline, go to MaconCountyGives.org, or for questions, call us at the Community Foundation at 217-429-3000. Again, that's MaconCountyGives.org, 217-429-3000. We're here to help you jumpstart your path to your exciting next chapter.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast today. There's a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 11 a.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 68 and breezy with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low around 47. For Thursday, sunny and windy with a high near 70. And Friday, sunny and windy with a high near 80. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 57 degrees. And your WSOY time is 8:33.
You know.
listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, me neither.
There's a couple, Life in the Fast Lane, and this song sort of get outside the Eagles' rest of their sound.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Witchy woman. I don't even really know what that means. The metaphor, I think.
Probably. I probably didn't even realize that this was them.
Not
there
him.
It is. Yeah, there it is.
There are times I think people get confused between John Lennon and Paul McCartney on vocals. I think there's been bands like where, but Glenn Frey and Don Henley were like diametrically opposed on the sound. Good morning and welcome. Don't know, I have any idea. This is what happens with bump music. I can't help myself. I apologize ahead of time. So this alternate broadcast quickly, Nick, and then Tanya's going to join the conversation. 138% up. They had the screen with the game, and then they had the three boxes. I don't know who the third person was. I don't remember now. But it was Eli and Peyton Manning in like two separate locations at their home, basically. And they're watching the game real time with you and just talking like your friends would be talking, you know, at a house party.
Like Mystery Science Theater 3000.
It was highly entertaining. Yeah. And then Peyton evidently suggested the Patriots had the locker rooms microphoned, you know, or whatever. I mean, there was some funny stuff that came out of it. And I wondered, watching it, it's up 138%. Now, it's still very low numbers. This is the alternate, you know, version of the game versus the real-time thing. But are we seeing, you know, what has traditionally been sports broadcasting has been done away for since the beginning?
Yeah, you're seeing a shift. In fact, not sports-related, but I saw an advertisement on television for Facebook where you can now FaceTime and watch shows together with your friends.
Yeah, because we need to give them some more power.
Right, but the same idea. I want to watch the content.
I want to see that company burn to the ground.
You'll probably get a chance at some point.
Them to be responsible for what they help create, including all the misinformation about COVID-19. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I sat there, though, and I thought about this. I saw it, like, on the NFL Network or something. I mean, I saw, like, a rebar. And I thought, now, this is interesting because they've done the play-by-play and a color guy. You know, it's been a very, you know, very basic recipe since the very beginning of football. Go back even further with baseball. You know, back to the days where Ronald Reagan really wasn't at an event. He was just, like, hitting a little thing with a wood to make the sound of the bat and doing it off a ticker tape sort of thing and describing the game to you. Complete theater of the mind.
Yep.
It really hasn't changed all that much.
Yeah, now it's like, give us the bar stool style. Let's just hear some guys.
You and I are very interested in some new things we're doing whenever we move into our fictional new studio.
So that's Thursday Night Football? Is that when it's on? The thing you're talking about?
No, it's Monday Night Football.
Oh, Monday night. Okay,
but
cool.
It's not the Monday night broadcast.
It's the alternate broadcast.
Yes.
Okay, I'll tune in on Monday for sure.
And you might just check out some of the video. I just found it to be like, okay, that's rethinking this thing, and it's very interesting.
Cool.
All right. Tanya joins us. She doesn't care about football. Do you?
You know, my kids watch football, so I try to care.
I don't watch that much football. Lindsay absolutely hates it. But that's okay. To me, it's more the process and the dynamic. Things are changing. Things are going to have to change.
Yes.
The pandemic changed things, accelerated things. I mean, you know, I was having a conversation yesterday. You know, they don't have staff meetings anymore in person. They just do the Zoom meetings, even though they don't have to, because it's just more convenient. You know, somebody's there sitting out on the patio, and another person's cooking, you know, dinner. You know, they can have their staff meeting. Things are going to change. I worry about the healthcare field being this gigantic, you know, war vessel that can't turn on a dime and refuses to turn on a dime. When and will this absolutely force change?
It has to force change, and it's painful, and it's hard for professionals to rethink their work. But we're seeing it absolutely in mental health care. You know, I saw some data just this week that there is one mental health professional in Macon County for every 650 residents.
Yes.
And so you cannot have enough access in a non-traditional model. The best way to improve access is to do things digitally and connect people telephonically and to access resources outside of our own community. That was not something the mental health professionals themselves even would consider pre-pandemic. They would have told you it's not effective or there's...
Let me ask you a generic question.
Sure.
Which I'm going to ask you. I don't want to offend anyone or place a finger of blame, just institutionally. As generic as I can make this. People want to make money. And the government will then reimburse money based on very antiquated, outdated sort of things. You know, how much of this is, you know, a silo mentality of this is the way we make the most money versus this is the way we serve the most people in general?
In general, systems of care are typically designed by healthcare organizations to maximize reimbursement. It is the business model, and it's sort of, it's not negative. It's how do we make the money so we can support the business so we can provide the care. It's sort of this model. That's kind of the nice thing about organizations like health centers, like what Crossing is because we are charged to assess the needs and then build the care delivery model.
And I'm a capitalist. I'm not knocking it, but I think right. that institutionalized way of thinking mm-hmm. keeps you from getting better because it's just we've Agreed. Always done it this way. This is the way we have to do it. And I realize that there are areas within a hospital, within a doctor's organization, you know, that the profit here pays for what there isn't profit. I mean, I get Absolutely. That it's a moving chessboard, mm-hmm. right? Having said all that. But I read a recent report, you know, that really sort of cemented for me what I kind of knew firsthand with family going through was out there, meaning that even if you want to get help, it is almost impossible to get, uh-huh. and you certainly can't get it anytime soon, when things could be very, very time precious. Correct. And then that does not stack up to me with not wanting to do more telehealth or something through a tablet if you could get to people quicker and faster and more of them, why are we still doing this old model?
You know, you're absolutely correct, and I think that it is going to take redesigning reimbursement structures, which the federal government is doing as a result of this pandemic. Many good things are happening as a result, just not quick enough because of the bureaucracy of government and, to your point, the size of healthcare organizations. It will be slow, but thankfully the train has left the station and we can't go back. We have to continue to progress just the way every other business has progressed.
I referenced a column by Scott Galloway earlier to Nick about the whole Best Buy comparison. You know, if you mm-hmm. just took a department store, any store, you know, and if your experience at that store was to go in and sit for an hour and a half before someone helped you, even though you had an appointment and they handed you a clipboard to fill out the same form you have to fill out every time you go, there's not a retail establishment on earth that would survive that.
You are correct.
But that is healthcare.
You are correct. And it is why we, within our industry, are challenging ourselves and one another to rethink what we're doing. And it's interesting because there are so many amazing minds within healthcare that will imagine, reimagine, and redesign healthcare, and then they hit the brick wall of but reimbursement. And so it's going to take, you know, a partnership between the healthcare delivery system and the infrastructure and payers in order to march down that path.
Right.
And, you know, that's always tough to moderate.
I don't know that there's a right answer. I know
it's tough,
it reminds me a lot of sort of public education.
Yes.
And that, like, they keep changing the rules about mm-hmm. how they reward you. And so teachers aren't teaching to the teaching, they're teaching to the test.
Yep.
And then the whole strategy, and not through anyone's fault, it's not malicious, it's not meant to do harm, mm-hmm. it's just sort of becomes institutionalized.
You're absolutely correct. And then that's when you start to see different business models, like we saw the concierge practices develop. And those are great for people who have the resources to do that. But those models sort of have evolved out of healthcare because of just what you described, that clipboard and nobody knowing my story, mm-hmm. And having to repeat myself over and over again and then not having the access to the care when I need it. And
yeah.
that is exactly what we need in healthcare. And we will be charged to fix that. And this pandemic has taken us down the path.
Good. I hope that's mm-hmm. the case. How do you stay clinical but stay human?
You know, I think that's a really good question. I think that connecting with people as often as you can as a clinician and not, you know.
Well, see, you're a nurse, and this yeah. is the interesting thing, because nurses are very good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else in the health profession is not. You know, the front window lady, the worst. doctors, you know, they got the distance thing, you know, the bedside manner. We talk about that all day long.
Right.
Nurses get it.
Yeah.
Nurses, I mean, just as a category.
Do. Yes, nurses typically do. It is in the Gallup polls for as long as I've been a nurse. Nurses have been the most highly trusted profession. And it's because I believe that nurses just connect on a human level most of the time.
But they're able to sort of do that and eat the grief. But give the care. I mean, you could make the argument to me all day long, and it makes sense that, like, you've got to have a detachment, because otherwise there's no way you can do this job. I think that about cops, whatever it might be. You see too much that if you live and die with every one of those moments, you're burned out, you know, in 10 years.
Correct.
But nurses are the front. They see every bit of it, way more than anybody else.
You are correct. But I believe it's both and. I believe that you can, you know, connect as you need to connect, when you need to connect, and you can remain level-headed, not emotional, science-based, and clear-minded at the same time. I don't believe it has to be a one or the other. I think that, you know, wisdom is trying to figure out that balance, and that's through experience, and that's why.
I'm just telling you, I'm a huge fan, because by and large, now, look, I just read a story of a nurse went down the whole QAnon rabbit hole, left behind two 10-year-old twins, died of COVID. So, I mean, that's not universal, but it's there. Why is it that in healthcare, and this is going to offend people, and this is in general, that front desk, you know, that main first impression, right? I know they see a lot of it. They get a lot of grief. They get a lot of, but man, you just, you talk about clipboard mentality of you're just a number, right? I mean, and that's fine if you've got a swollen ankle.
Correct.
When you're going through a mental crisis,
it's tough.
Why don't we care more about that first impression?
You know, I think that, you know, good organizations do care about that first impression. And I think we're always trying to really instill compassion and care into every member of a team. And it takes a lot of conversations, a lot of support. There was the whole notion of scripting, and that came from Disney, you'll remember. And that only got you so far. I think the truth is,
I had a scripted call with a contact tracer last week. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. So I think that it's really, I think we're all still trying to figure out the secret sauce to that one.
Yeah.
But when you do find
the
right
person.
By the way,
that goes beyond the medical conversation.
Oh, it's everywhere.
It's true of everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like one of the first areas that people cut. And I don't understand it at all. Even our own company. I just, you get one chance at a first impression, right?
Right.
And why not have that be the best of what your company has to offer instead of treating it like, I just think you get, you know, okay, I've heard this complaint, I've heard that. I get it. It's not an easy job. There's a young lady at the Y, MCA, who is just fantastic and is never a downbeat, and there's always a big smile, and there's always this welcoming thing. And I just got to tell you, it matters.
It does matter.
And that's just going to a gym.
You're right. There is one plaque in our lobby, and it's the face of Ethel Works, who more than 25 years was our front registration person at Chick Clinic in all the old locations, and then she finally retired from Crossing. And I think she did more from a therapeutic standpoint for many of our patients than many of their clinicians did. And that's why her plaque is on the wall.
No, it should.
Absolutely.
Her name should be on a building. I'm telling you go to a hospital or you go to Crossing, you're in a state of anxiety.
Absolutely.
No one's going there because they want to.
No.
I mean, other than the employees. You're in either in a health crisis or a loved one is in a health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that first initial contact sets the tone for everything.
It does. It's why COVID's been hard, because now initial contact is I need to get your temperature and, you know, have you had these symptoms? And it just feels, I hate it. I don't like
But there's a way that you can
right
even
now.
Do that, though, that is not so treat you like a number.
Correct. You're absolutely correct.
I think the worst invention ever were those little deli numbers. You know what I mean? Like where, and you can still go to stores, you know, occasionally and still see that. And I'm number 79. And it's a metaphor for, you know, the way it says something.
Mm-hmm. You're correct.
I'm not Brian. I'm 79.
It's why I used to love the photographer that took our school pictures that came up with a cute little name for everybody instead of Next.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely do.
Make it joyful.
All right. We'll take the Marquee Coffee break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 40 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
The SIU Center for Family Medicine Decatur is now offering the COVID-19 vaccine. All you need to do is give them a call at 217-872-3800 and schedule your appointment. Do your part for your community and loved ones. Take your shot at COVID. Make the call today. Call the SIU Center for Family Medicine Decatur at 217-872-3800. That's 217-872-3800.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube, and I'm just like you. I don't like waiting around for something to get done either. At Speed Lube, we pride ourselves in offering you the best customer service experience in as little time needed, featuring quality Pennzoil motor oil. Speed Lube and Pennzoil are two names you can trust to keep your vehicle running at tip-top shape regardless of the weather. Stop in and visit us at any of our six convenient Decatur area locations or our shops in Lincoln and Clinton, and get your Pennzoil oil change today at Speed Lube.
Millikan University invites high school and transfer students to a campus visit day on Monday, October 11th. Come see for yourself what a Millikan education is all about. Attend a campus visit day to learn about admission criteria and important deadlines, academic programs, financial aid and scholarships, and see how you can get involved in athletics, Greek life, and student organizations. Experience the Millikan difference on Monday, October 11th at a campus visit day. Register at millikan.edu/visit.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, good morning. Is that Jackson Brown? Man, you're like right in the wheelhouse of time here, and he's really connected with the Eagles. Glenn Frey literally lived in his basement.
Right.
And that whole song, hanging out on a corner in, was it Tucson, Arizona? That was a Jackson Brown song. He couldn't come up with the opening lyrics, and Glenn Frey could hear him playing it over and over and over above, and finally wrote the opening of the song. Jackson Brown gave it to him, became one of the Eagles' biggest hits. Don't know why I have room for that kind of stuff.
It's a cool story.
That four-hour Eagles documentary, and since Glenn Frey died, for sure, is just the most honest, introspective. I mean, they don't hold any punches. I mean, about themselves, about everyone else. You know, I mean, it's... If you really wanted people to be introspective about an incredible career and the ups and downs, that was it. You know, every time you see something about Beatles, it's almost worship-like. You know what I mean? It's a little, they almost don't seem human. The Eagles were a big deal. All right. And by the way, a lot of their success happened because of radio accidentally. When they quit, and everybody forgets that they quit and then got back together, but when they quit, their music was being played because people went to that classic rock format, which was a brand new radio format. So the Eagles were on the air those three or four years more than when they were together. So the public really never, you know, I mean, there wasn't a breakup. And so when they came back, it was just right back to normal.
Amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think about those kind of stories. Nick and I were talking about you the other day. And well, in regards to the Diamonds and Desserts event, which is tomorrow night. You know, I saw the email, and you'd shared that picture with me as a young Girl Scout, and, you know, you talked about that first aid badge. And I asked Nick, you know, where would our community be if that Girl Scout leader or whoever it was that inspired you to get into Girl Scouts, and then you found that one particular badge area and not only changed your life, but changed the life of the entire community. Oh, and what would have happened if that hadn't happened?
Well, I'd like to think there's a whole lot of really wonderful nurses in this community that would step in.
Not going
to
do that. Not going to do that. Not going to allow you to do that. You'll do that tomorrow night, I know. But I mean, I think about things like that in life. And you know, some people will, you know, put religious aspects to it. Some people use the word epiphany. Some people use, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can describe it. But there are moments in life that set a trajectory for people that you just don't realize it until all those years later that could have been a completely different story.
You're correct. And I think that I figured that out as an emergency room nurse, because it seems like so many times when you land yourself in the ER, it's one of those moments that changes your life. And I just sort of remember sitting back, seeing situation after situation and realizing what a gift it is to be a nurse. And to be a part of those moments, and you can make them better or you can not. You can be neutral or you can certainly make them worse.
Yeah.
And it's really has always seemed like such a privilege to be able to be a part of it and make
it
better.
But someone's responsible for that. Who was it? I mean, how did you get to be in the? I mean, was it your family? Was it an outside force? Was it the, you know, I mean, how did you end up in that Girl Scout troop?
The Girl Scout troop was just me needing to find something to do. I wasn't a sporty kid.
Yeah.
I landed in show choir in high school, but prior to that.
Oh, kidding?
I was a swing station. I'm sorry. I can do that.
I want pictures.
I have pictures of really big hair. But the thing about it is I wasn't sporty. I couldn't find my place.
Yeah.
And so several flyers came home for this Girl Scout troop. And so my mom just said, why don't you do this? And I did. And I remember feeling like it was this group of girls who were all different groups. So there were sporty kids, there were smart kids, there were, you know, quiet kids, and all these girls came together. And for that time, each week, we were a group and we were a troop and we learned together and we saw we were so much more alike than different. And I just remember that about it. I remember, you know, school seemed, I never seemed to find my place or my group. And it was in Girl Scouts that I saw that there wasn't, you didn't have to find a group, that you were just like other people. And I sort of had that perspective moving forward. It wasn't important to me to find a group after that.
That's why it still matters.
It does matter.
I tell you, you know, the organizations and the things that do, it just, you know, changes lives. I mean, it, you know, it's still a lot of hard work for the person to get to where they get. But, I mean, it sets them down a path. I mean, I think about this with the Ag Academy. I think about this stuff that, you know, the joy of thinking 50 years from now. That's still churning out kids with a whole new perspective on life and new chances and then what they might do.
You know, investing in young people is so important. It's why I love to see all of the really cool things happening in our community right now for youth, because those are formative years. And the things that we do when we're young change our paths, change our thinking in really profound ways. And Girl Scouts was part of my story. And I know Boys and Girls Club is a part of a lot of kids' story, and the Ag Academy will be, and
a teacher,
young leaders,
it can be anything.
But it matters, and I think that that's why these kinds of organizations are worth investing in, because you change, you know, your return on investment is big.
Yes. I mean, even really if you don't have a heart for it, I mean, just out of selfish reasons, it's the thing to do because
it really
it's smart.
Is. All right,
so how awkward will tomorrow night be for you?
Incredibly awkward. I had a conversation with Stacy from the Girl Scouts yesterday. She just called me to check in, and I'm like, you know, this is really uncomfortable for me. I'm not looking forward to this for those personal reasons. But yet at the same time, I think it's a really cool opportunity to represent healthcare in a tough time. And I'm grateful that organizations see healthcare as valuable and see the work that people like nurses do.
Yeah, we can nurses and doctors and front staff. I mean,
absolutely.
We've got to keep growing the next generation, because it's like just like law enforcement. It's been a really tough 18 months for these folks. I mean, tough.
It has.
And I think they've done just an amazing job. So I get to introduce you tomorrow.
I know. I'm so excited about that.
I don't know that I've ever introduced anyone at this. I usually do the emceeing of the event, but somebody else will introduce the new honoree, which is Tanya. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not thinking about that a lot.
Nah.
I like to be a little more natural in those.
Speak from the heart. Exactly. And you every day ad lib as really, really well as your gift and strength, one of the things you bring to the world. So I'm sure it'll be just fine.
No, I'm gonna make you as uncomfortable as I can.
I just appreciate that, Brian.
That's my goal. I want you to visibly, because you know, truly, you mean this, and you'll defer to everyone else, and you'll thank the team and all that. But take a moment to acknowledge Tanya, because you deserve it, and I think it's fantastic. And then it's all downhill from this, because now for every year going forward, you just come out and eat free desserts.
I'm super excited about that.
Yeah,
I'm excited to be in this club. It's a cool group of people.
It is a cool group of people, and it's a lot of fun. And then you not only get to eat the desserts, it's actually your responsibility to eat the desserts, so you can jump right over even feeling bad about eating the desserts.
Oh, I think it's great. There's no downside to any of this.
There you go.
It's Girl Scouts, it's desserts. It's a wonderful evening with wonderful people.
If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you can go to the Girl Scouts website, $75 per person. It's going to be at the Country Club. It's outdoors, which is, you know, a nice, you know, I wasn't sure how they were going to do that. And outdoors is way better than indoors right now. So I'm looking forward to it. Well deserved.
Thank you.
All right. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Diamond Honorary. Diamond Honorary. Just her. On the stage tomorrow. That's it for us. If you missed any of the show today, podcasts are presented by the Bob Brady Auto Group. You can get them anywhere you get your podcasts, but might as well just get them at Nauticator.com. Tomorrow, City Hall insider Paul Osborne will be with us. We'll be back with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. We have Cardinals tickets to give away. It's going to be a good show. We'll see you then. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your Stories Now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering. Around $327 million is being made available for low-income households to pay for energy bills, food, rent, and other household expenses. The funds through the Low-Income Household Energy Assistance Program and the Community Services Block Grant Program are available to eligible households regardless of immigration status. Governor J.B. Pritzker announced an agreement with a labor union representing workers in congregate settings like the Illinois Department of Corrections to get vaccinated. The agreement requires such employees to have their first COVID-19.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.